Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 7 ways to buy rental properties with little or no money down. But before we get started, I just want to touch base with everybody out there and wanted to just see how you're doing. I know that, man, it's just, boy, you look at the news here and there's so many things going on right now that it's a little bit crazy. But, you know, there are still, in spite of it all, there's still people out there that are buying and selling real estate and taking in rent checks and moving forward. I'm encouraged because I see good things happening out there. I see with my own properties, and I know that the market does have some great opportunities. So I'd just say, hey, if you've got a plan in place, just keep moving forward. Yeah, we might have to tweak it here and there. Definitely a lot of changes in the marketplace going on, but interest rates are still record low. I mean, still, I'm getting even lower. I mean, 15-year loans at 2.63, I think, is like one rate I saw today. So there are a lot of good stuff going on there. But just want to encourage you, keep on moving forward here. Hey, tip of the week, credit scores. I know a lot of people just don't like to mess with them. I know some guys, it's funny because our topic today is about little or no money down. I know some people that because of their credit score, they had no choice but to buy properties with little or no money down and with creative financing because they couldn't get a bank loan. That's pretty innovative. It's definitely a way to motivate you to learn about purchasing properties with little or no money down and definitely learn about creative financing. But the tip this week is really on credit scores. You know, before you really start looking at properties, you need to take a good look at your credit score. Now, credit scores, some people say, I don't have to worry about it. Maybe because they syndicate or they don't necessarily have the types of loans that require their personal finances. Whereas, you know, looking at commercial properties in many regards, they look at the property more than they do your credit score, but they always do look at your credit score because they would try to find out just maybe how responsible you are and so forth. So it's not a bad idea to get your credit score in order. I remember when I first started out, I had absolutely no credit score after being in the mission field for as long as I was. And I didn't have any credit cards. I didn't have any loans. So I had to start from scratch. And it was a real challenge. I just hated to get credit cards. I didn't want to do it. I was very reluctant to do it. But as I did, I realized there are just a number of advantages having a higher credit score that one, you do get some of those better loans with the better rates, like I was just talking about. You also get, you know, an opportunity to, you know, if you're maybe bidding on a property against somebody else and they really look with scrutiny at the potential buyers. And one of the measures of evaluation are a person's credit score. So it's something that I've learned is almost like a game just to, you know, to monitor it. You know, you sign up with something like Credit Karma or NerdWallet or one of these other types of, you know, credit services where it's free and you can check on your credit and see how things are going. And it's real easy to you can tweak it. Sometimes you can boost your credit. There's I think it's on Experian or one of those where you can actually do a credit boost just by a couple of points, just by doing a few quick things. There are just a number of different ways to try to maintain that good ranking, but it's just a good idea early on that you take that seriously. You know, sign up with one of those free credit monitoring services. See what you have to do. Sometimes they have these little evaluators too, where you can look at if I did this, my credit score would go up by this amount. You know, so if I paid a couple hundred down on a loan that I have, I could actually see it actually visibly improve. Sometimes there's bogus things on your report if you look at them carefully. There's some services they're not necessarily free, but you can get all three major credit reports and you can look at them and compare them. And sometimes you'll notice, well, one's much higher than the others. Why is that? And it may be because the others are including something that's not included in the one that you have. And you can look at ways to dispute things. A lot of times people don't want to try that because they don't think that it'll get anywhere, but you'd be surprised the number of disputes that are accepted. And if you dispute something and take it off, it just boom. You know, we had my wife, we were looking at her credit score and noticed that hers was, you know, lower than usual. Didn't know why. And there was a hospital bill that was paid a long time ago, but it was apparently it was listed as something that had gone to collection. It hadn't gone to collection. So we disputed it. And I think her credit score just went up like 50 points. Just amazing. Because it was something that really shouldn't have even been on there. And so it's worth checking it out. And it does pay literally if you can get those great rates. So keep an eye on your credit score. Let's get into our topic. 7 ways to buy rental properties with little or no money down. Well, having a nice chunk of change to buy rental properties will help propel your investing career. It's not the only way. There are ways of buying a rental property with no money down or very little money down. If you're tight on funds or just like to get creative when you're buying real estate, take a look at some of these ways, these 7 ways that we're going to present here. What does it mean to buy real estate with no money down or little money down? Traditional lenders like a bank or credit union require a down payment when you buy rental properties. Now, it's usually 20, 25, 30% down that can equate to tens of thousands of dollars just to get your foot in the door to owning your first rental property. When someone says they're buying real estate with no money down, they're referring to putting none or very little of their own money into the investment up front. Some real estate investors use other people's money for a down payment or creative financing options to eliminate a down payment altogether, putting very little to none of their own money into the real estate investment. The less money you have invested in a property, the higher the likelihood of an increased return. That's why savvy real estate investors use a number of the following methods to reduce how much they bring to the transaction. So let's take a look at some of the methods out there. One of my favorite is house hacking. Now, house hacking is really kind of the easiest way to buy your first rental property. And I know for people that are more established, especially people if you've got kids or you're older, you may not be into house hacking, but there are some great advantages in it. And it's a great way to get started if you're concerned about the amount of funds that you have available. The traditional house hacking concept is simple. You buy a small multifamily. Sometimes you can buy a single family, and then you rent out the rooms, and you live in one of the rooms, which that's real bare bones, and that's kind of tough, especially if you value your privacy. But generally, it's like a two, three, four unit type property that you move into one of the units, and you rent out the other ones. Your neighboring tenants, they pay the rent, basically for the mortgage, and you live there rent-free. That's a real, real nice setup, especially if you can get it into, well, you've got, I think, four units would be the ideal for a house hacking deal. And then when you move out, you get to, again, you get to rent out the place that you were in, and so now it's just all cash flow. So, you know, how does that help your down payment? Well, one nice little advantage is when you buy a place, mortgage lenders require a far lower down payment for owner-occupied properties than investment properties. So those that have been investing for a while realize your interest rates are higher, your down payments sometimes are higher for investment properties. It's a simple risk calculation for them. Borrowers are less likely to default on their home mortgage than on a rental property loan. So that's one of the reasons why it's a little higher. Also, there's a low down payment provided in, let's say, FHA financing, which allows a 3.5% down payment as long as your credit score is over 580. Uh-huh. Again, the credit score. And let's be honest, if your credit score is under 580, you should probably work on paying down debts before buying a rental property. But FHA isn't the only option. There are loan programs out there that require even less money down, and sometimes no money down at all. Talk to at least three local mortgage lenders or brokers about different programs available before settling in on a lender and loan program. And just as a final thought on house hacking, keep in mind that multifamily house hacking isn't your only option to live for free. There are other house hacking ideas as well where you can live for free. And it doesn't have to be a small multi. You can actually buy an apartment. You can buy larger multifamily like apartments and actually live in one of the apartments. I know some folks that are retired and they have their kids are all out. So they live in an apartment that has a property manager, and they benefit from not having to cut the lawns or deal with any of the tenant issues because the tenants don't know that they are the owner, but they have this little apartment that they can return to while they're traveling the world and doing other fun things that they want to do in their retirement. So there are variations on that house hacking idea. Another option is to make your primary residence a rental. Who says your home has to be a single family home, right? House hacking, which we just talked about, is the process of buying a multi-unit property to live in as your primary residence and renting out the remaining units. And it's becoming a popular method for, you know, especially new and younger investors. But using a down payment assistance, like I mentioned with the FHA, you can also do that. There's a variation on that. There's an FHA loan that it's called a 203K, where you can get a loan to also do property improvement, and you still get that 3.5% down, which is an advantage. And that's a way that you can actually take your home and you could maybe, you know, make it into a duplex and live in one half and then rent out the other half. So there's variations on that as well. Some people, for example, they're older and they've got a big house. They don't necessarily want to be in that house because it's a lot to care for. All the kids are gone. So what they'll do is they'll rent out that house and then they'll house hack and move into a fourplex and live in one of the units. Okay. So they got their other home, they own it right outright, but they can rent it out and they got just, you know, pure rent cash flow coming in while they're living in this other place, which they're also not paying any rent on. So you actually can, by moving out of the bigger house into the smaller house or the smaller living space. You can, you know, generate double rent here or a lot more rent instead of selling your house and then using that money to, you know, to buy a rental property. So there are variations of that. You can also leverage other property. If you have a high credit score and own other property with equity, you can leverage the property's equity by getting a home equity line of credit, a HELOC, and or a home equity loan. And this type of financing allows you to take out a loan or a line of credit up to 75 or 80% of your property's equity as determined by a formal appraisal. For example, if you own a property worth $200,000 and you owe $100,000, you could pull out $75,000 to $80,000 of your property's equity in cash. You could then use that money to buy another property. Depending on the amount of equity you have in your real estate business, you could easily buy property with zero or no money down. So that HELOC can be a pretty attractive thing. And usually the rates are pretty good. And a lot of times you can just write a check on the amount that you need. So you don't have to use the full amount. You just have to use the amount that, you know, you might need to purchase or get a down payment for that property. And then there's seller financing. Seller financing is also called owner financing, is a non-traditional form of financing in which the seller or owner of a property holds financing for the buyer. The seller or owner of the property acts as the lender for the buyer instead of going to a bank to get traditional financing. This can also be a good means for people maybe who their credit isn't all that great. They might not qualify for bank financing. The buyer repays the loan over time according to the repayment terms outlined in a formal agreement, like a note and mortgage. Some sellers will know exactly what terms they will accept or hold for the financing, such as a specific interest rate, down payment, or loan period, while others are open to negotiation. If you are a strong negotiator and are able to determine the seller's needs, it's possible to negotiate financing with no money down or have the seller carry a second mortgage while getting a first mortgage from a bank. Usually, this only works when the need to sell or reach the desired sales price exceeds the owner's desire for a down payment. And in many cases with seller financing, there's usually you have somebody that's very motivated to get out too, because a lot of people don't want they want the cash in many cases. But if they can't get the cash, they'll just do it just to get out from underneath. Maybe the lien that's on the property, or maybe there's it's a bit of foreclosure or other situation that they need to get out of. You can also assume a seller's mortgage. Another option for buying an investment property using little money down is by assuming the seller's current mortgage, also called buying subject to. In a subject to deal, you buy a rental property subject to the terms of the owner's current mortgage. This option generally requires a small down payment, but depending on the seller's needs, it may be possible to assume a loan for no money down. For example, if the property is worth $100,000 and the current mortgage balance is $80,000 with 12 years remaining, you pay the seller $20,000 to sell the property, taking over their $80,000 mortgage, paying the monthly principal and interest payment to the bank. The investor avoids having to find alternative financing from another lending source and gets to benefit from paying down a loan further in the appreciation schedule. Buying subject to is a super creative way to buy distressed properties, but it isn't always an option. Depending on the lender, the loan may not be assumable. Some lenders include a due on sale clause, which means the entire loan balance is due if the property is transferred or sold. While rare, some lenders will allow this. You can also get a hard money loan. Hard money loans are an alternative financing option commonly used to finance properties that won't be approved for traditional financing, like a fix and flip type situation. Investors can secure financing for a property up to a certain percentage of the property's current or future value, or what they call their after repair value, and will include the cost to renovate or repair the property into the loan. This means if you negotiate a great deal with a super low purchase price, and you are within the hard money lender's loan to value requirements, you could possibly purchase the property with no money or very little money down. Hard money loans are normally short term, lasting anywhere from 6 to 18 months, so there's limits there. And they usually have very high interest rates, around 5 to 10% higher than a traditional mortgage. So this method of buying a rental property with no money down is typically best if you have good credit and plan to do a cash out refi after the property is repaired and rented. So the ideal situation is, you know, you get into a property that you know if you do the work, it will go up in value significantly and you'll make up the difference on the cash out refi. So that's also a possibility. You can also partner on an investment. One of the most common methods of investing in real estate with no money down is to buy an investment property using OPM or other people's money. You can find a private lender or funding partner willing to partner on the investment, giving you the funds necessary to purchase the property. This could be the down payment alone or the entire purchase price in cash in exchange for a return on their investment. Partners could be family members, friends, or colleagues, and there are a variety of ways to structure their return. For example, a joint venture, a JV, where ownership of the property or company is shared in respective percentages. Rental income, equity, and appreciation are typically shared with the partners respectively. A lending agreement, for example, where the investor receives a preferred return on their initial investment. A private loan where the partner is repaid with monthly payments, which could be interest only with a balloon or a principal and interest payment, or a combination of any of the above ones that I just mentioned. So there are a number of different options there. But in summary, most successful real estate investors will use a variety of methods to structure an offer to a prospective seller. It's likely you'll experience a lot of no's in response, but also it's not a rarity to buy a property with very little to no money down. I've interviewed a number of real estate investors on the podcast who purchased many of their investment properties with no money down. Some guys still do it. They've been doing it for 20 some odd years. And if you could do it once, you learn how to, you know, just knuckle under and find that one deal, it gets easier with each successive one after that. And in some deals, it will make sense to put more money down in exchange for a lower monthly payment and often a better interest rate. A lot just depends on the deal. So it's not always going to work for your situation, but it is a good way, especially if you're getting started and you don't quite have the cash to be able to do multiple purchases. You can work out these types of deals along the way. The key is to just carefully analyze each investment opportunity first to see if these creative strategies make sense for the purchase of the real estate property you're looking at. Buying rental property with no money down is not the easiest method of buying real estate, but it can be worth it in the long run, and it certainly is possible. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dog's website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled 7 Ways to Buy Rental Properties with Little or No Money Down. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.